Confessions of a Nightclub Bouncer, part 3. Like I was saying at the end of part 2, I let this guy in against my better judgment, and now I'm on the door sweating, because I know what Mark's like, you get me? If he starts some shit in there, the situation could escalate, because Mark is a reckless you, and that's going to reflect badly on the team, and badly on the company, and we could potentially lose the contract if the situation's bad enough, and it's all going to come back on me. And what's the boss going to do if that happens? And he knows I'm the one to blame. You know, my boss with the neck the size of Dan Rayfield's waist. You know, what's he going to do? Because the boss ain't just a normal boss. He's a businessman. You get me? He ain't just some normal guy who runs a security company. He's a businessman, if you get what I'm telling you. And he's got a team. So that's what I was most worried about, the fucking boss. If I fuck up his money, what's going to happen to me? So I'm on the door sweating. And Mark's inside the bar with his girl and his brother. And this particular weekend was extremely busy. The place was packed out. So the cheapskate management did actually put their hand in their pocket for once and pay for some extra security. There was probably about 5 or 6 of us working that night. And about 5 minutes after Mark went in, literally 5 minutes, one of the other bouncers who was working inside came outside to speak to me. And he goes, "You know that guy you just let in? Is he a friend of yours?" And I'm like, yeah, I know him. And he's like, "Well, you better go inside to talk to him, because it looks like he's about to start some trouble in there." So I'm thinking, what? I only let this guy in 5 fucking minutes ago, and he's already starting some shit. What the fuck is wrong with this guy? So anyway, my colleague took over from me on the front door, and I go inside to talk to this fool. And the club was ram-packed full of people. I was having to squeeze through the crowd. It's pretty dark, you know, the air was all smoky from cigarettes and smoke machines. The atmosphere was like fog, so it was hard to even see in there. And you got music pumping, beer loud, and people are dancing and drinking and raving it up. And I'm trying to maneuver my way through this crowd and this fog, trying to find this fool. So eventually I find where the guy is, and I walk up to him and I'm like, "Yo, wild one, blood, you cool?" And he's like, yeah, I'm cool, blood, you get me? Man's just bubbling and that. So I'm like, "Are you having any problems with anyone in here, blood?" And he's like, no, blood, it's cool. It's just my girl's dickhead ex-boyfriend's here, innit?" And I'm like, fucking hell, man, just leave it though, innit? Like, if there's any problems, just come and get one of us bouncers, because there's 6 of us. So we'll deal with him, you get me? If you start swinging, then it's going to look bad on me, because I just let you in. And I just started this job. You get me? I don't want to fuck it up. And he's like, "Nah, man, don't watch that. I ain't going to do nothing. I ain't going to mess up your thing here, you get me? Like, I know it's your new job and you don't want to fuck it up, so I ain't gonna fuck it up for you, you get me? It's cool, blood, don't watch that." So I'm like, all right, cool. So I felt kind of reassured by that. You know, he guaranteed me basically that nothing was gonna happen, he was gonna hold it down. So I make my way back to the front door to take over from my colleague. And as soon as I get there, literally not even 1 minute after I get there, one of the barmaids comes rushing out to find me with this frightened look on her face. And she goes, "It's all going off inside. It's all kicking off." So I'm like, what? So I run back inside and there's 2 other bouncers with me. And we look over and see my so-called friend Mark swinging it out on the dance floor with his girlfriend's ex-boyfriend. Now, these 2 are going at it. And the girlfriend's ex is a pretty big guy, like at least as big as me, maybe even a bit bigger. So me and my 2 colleagues go over to grab him, because this guy's just going wild. So we go over to grab him, and as soon as I grab him, I realize that this guy is stronger than the fucking Terminator. This guy is like the Incredible Hulk on PCP. This guy is fucking unbelievably strong. Like, this guy must have literally been on PCP or coke, crack, you know, everything at the same time, because the strength this guy had was superhuman. Literally, to this day, I can tell you, I've never put hands on another human being who was that physically strong. Fucking crazy. I don't know what type of drugs this guy was on, but he was definitely on something. All right, so I put my hands on him, and my 2 other colleagues are trying to restrain him at the same time. And with the 3 of us working together, I managed to get behind him and get him in a full Nelson. You know, it wasn't easy because he was crazy strong, but I somehow managed to get him in a full Nelson. So I got my arms locked behind his head, and we're trying to maneuver him towards the fire exit to get him out of there. And there was a couple of his friends there. They ain't, you know, fighting with us at this stage, but, you know, they're telling us to leave him alone and They're getting in our way, trying to obstruct our path, basically, and make it more difficult for us to get him out. And this is already a packed club. And we're trying to maneuver this guy who's very strong and don't want to be moved out of the club through this packed crowd. So it's very difficult, you get me? There was a big commotion going on. So we're trying to move this guy out. And as we're getting towards the fire exit, this guy still has the strength. It was incredible, literally. He still had the strength to launch a headbutt at my colleague who was standing in front of him. It was crazy, literally. He nearly lifted me off my feet when he launched his headbutt forward at my colleague who was standing in front of me. And my colleague turned around, just instinctively turned around and punched him in the face. Now, I'm holding this guy in a full Nelson, and my colleague is hitting this guy, banging his face, full force. I swear he must have hit the guy 7, 8, 9 times. Full-blooded punches in his face. The guy's nose was bleeding, his mouth was bleeding, it was all fucked up. But he was still strong. That was a scary thing. I'm holding on to this guy. And even though he's been hit that many times with flush punches in the face, I can still feel that he's strong. So I'm thinking, my fucking days, what is this guy on? How the fuck can he be strong after taking all them punches? He should be out cold. But anyway, we get towards the fire exit now. And we all spill out through the doors onto the street. Because, you know, the club was so packed. There was even people who weren't involved who got pushed out with us. And as soon as I let this guy go out of the full Nelson, it was like letting a pit bull off the leash. This guy started going nuts. I don't even know what the fuck this guy was doing. He was swinging on everyone. I don't even know if he knew who he was fighting, right? He was just swinging on loads of different people. People were getting knocked down all over the fucking place. But, you know, me and my colleagues just looked at each other and we were like, you know what? If it's outside, it's outside. This ain't our business. We got a club full of people that we got to look after right now. We can't be out here in the alleyway partaking in the Royal Rumble. You know, we got to get back inside and secure this venue. So we all go back inside now. And obviously I go over to speak to this fool, Mark, you know, the one who started all the shit. And I'm like, you know, what the fuck was that? I thought you weren't going to start no problems in there. And he's like, no, I'm sorry about that. You get me? Like, but the thing is that he started on me, so I had to defend myself, you get me? I'm like, nah, you fucked it up for me, blood. You fucked it up for me, you get me? And he's like, you know what, bruv, I'm gonna leave anyway. You know what I mean? So I'm pissed off at this dickhead, so I just kiss my teeth and walk off like, you know, fuck this guy. So anyway, about an hour or so passes and things are calmed down, you know, everything's cool. And I'm just doing my usual patrol of the club, making sure things are running smooth and, you know, going in the toilets, making sure no one passed out in there or no one's trying to sell any drugs, you know, making sure all the fire exits stay closed because it was, you know, especially hot. And some people like to open the fire exits to get some fresh air or smoke a cigarette or to try to sneak their friends in. So I'm walking around and I noticed that one of the fire exits is slightly ajar. Like, it ain't fully open, it's just slightly ajar. So I go over there, you know, I start walking over there to close it. And as I'm walking over there, the door swings open and the Incredible Hulk, the guy we just kicked out an hour ago, comes back in. So I'm thinking, oh shit. So straight away I get on the radio and I speak to my colleagues. I'm like, yo, that guy we just kicked out earlier has just come back in through one of the fire exits and I'm gonna need your help over here because there might be more trouble. But I was at the back of the club and my colleagues were all at the opposite end of the club, right near the front. And there was, you know, a packed club full of 600 people between us. So it's probably going to take them a while before they get to where I am. So I'm thinking, you know what? I'm just going to have to deal with this guy on my own as best I can until my colleagues get here. Because, you know, I don't want him coming inside and disappearing into the crowd or whatever. So I go over to speak to the guy. And, you know, I say to him, look, we don't want no more trouble in here again. You know, we already kicked you out before. Let's just leave it now. You get me? Like, why don't you just go home and jam for the night? Let's just keep it peaceful. So I put my hand on the guy's shoulder and he just looks at me with his blank expression. And I just gently usher him towards the door. I ain't pushing him. Like, the guy ain't even putting up any resistance. He seems calm. He's just, you know, going along with it. So I'm just gently ushering him out the door. And as I'm doing that, you know, I'm just usher him outside the door. He goes outside. And at that particular moment, I make the worst rookie mistake you could ever make as a bouncer. I take my eyes off the fucking opponent. All right, he's only 3 feet away from me. And I take my eyes off him to turn around and go back inside. And at that moment, the guy smacks me right in the mouth. Right, I didn't even know what the fuck had hit me. I didn't see the punch or nothing. But the red mist instantly descends on me. And I get this massive boost of adrenaline from God knows where. It's like nitrous oxide in a car engine. And I literally fly at this guy. Right, and me and this guy start scrapping in the alleyway. We're going at it, swinging it out. And just a few seconds later, my colleagues show up. And they didn't actually make their way through the middle of the club. They actually came out the front door and ran down the side alley. So they got there quick. So they came and they found me and this guy scrapping. They jumped in and broke it up. And the guy's friends also arrived and they, you know, came to pull him away and whatever. And my colleagues just pulled me back inside because, you know, they're trying to calm me down because apparently the police were driving around the area because there'd been a lot of trouble at some of the clubs close by. So there was police in the area. It was a very busy weekend. So they're trying to calm me down and they're telling me, you know, it's not worth it. You don't want to lose your license over this shit. So they get me back inside. And as I get in, one of my colleagues looks at me like with a funny look on his face. And he's like, you need to go wash your face. And I'm like, what? What the fuck you mean I need to go wash my face? And he said it again. He's like, you need to go wash your face. And he's looking at me funny. And I'm thinking, what the fuck is this guy talking about? And this is one of them clubs where they got mirrors everywhere. Like mirrors all over the walls and that. So I walk up to one of the mirrors to find out what the hell this guy's talking about. And I look at my face in the mirror and my bottom lip was bust wide open. Like it was bust open so bad, there was flesh from the inside of my lip hanging outside my lip. Right? Like my lip had fucking guts. It was fucking crazy. And at that moment, literally a next type of red mist descended on me. I don't know what the fuck happened. I was like OJ Simpson when he killed Ron Goldman. I just blacked out. You understand? I just completely blacked out. Like one second I was looking at my face in the mirror, and the next second I was out on the street again, scrapping with the guy and his two friends. Right, what happened in between is a complete blur. Even now, it's a complete blur. I just must have exited that place with a next type of quickness, and my colleagues came running after me to pull me back inside again. So after that, I was storming around the club, and I was asking everyone who the fuck this guy is. Does anyone know this guy? And apparently, one of the guys who worked there, one of the staff who worked in the club, they knew the guy because they played football with him on Sunday and they knew his name. So I had his name at least, but I wanted to find out, you know, where this guy lived. But I didn't even have Mark's number no more because I hadn't seen him for, you know, several years. And I didn't even know what area he was living in now because he was always moving around. So, you know, that was a dead end. So I went home that night and, you know, I didn't even want to go hospital to get my lip stitched because I didn't want to feel like a victim. Like, I know that sounds crazy, innit? But that's just what I was thinking at the time. But I went home, I went to bed, you know, had a terrible night's sleep, woke up with blood all over my pillow, and all I had was a name. So I got on the phone to a couple of my boys and, you know, I told them what happened and said I'm looking for this particular guy, told him his name and asked them, you know, can you help me find him? So my boys were on the case for a couple of days, asking around and whatnot. And two or three days later, one of my boys calls me. One of my boys called Michael, who I mentioned in, I think, part one. And he calls me up and he says he found out where this guy hangs out. So he said he hangs out at some pub, like a Yardie pub, a Jamaican pub. He normally hangs out at his place. So I'm like, all right, let's go down there. You know, let's go down and look at the place so we know where to find him. So Michael comes around in his car, picks me up, and we drive down there. And, you know, we weren't even expecting to see him down there because this was like 1 p.m. or something like that. So we were just going to go down there and scout the place out. So we're driving down the road and I was in the passenger seat, obviously. And the place was coming up on the left. So I told Michael to slow down so I can have a look inside as we're passing by because, you know, this was the summertime. So a lot of the pubs leave their door open. So, you know, we were driving slow. So I looked inside and he was there. He was sitting on the stool at the fucking bar. And I'm like, oh shit, he's there. So, you know, at that moment, the red mist descended on me again. You know what I mean? And I'm like, stop the car, stop the fucking car. So Michael stopped the car. I jumped out the car and marched up in the pub. And the guy was sitting on a stool at the bar. And the funny thing is that when I walked up to him, he looked at me as if I was about to greet him. Like, he literally must have been so high that night that he didn't even remember me. So as I approached him, I must have said something like, yo, what's up, pussy? And before he could even react to that, I already hit him like 2-3 times, right? Punched him in the head like 2-3 times. He fell off his stool. You know, the barmaid started screaming. And then some older guy jumps in to try and break it up. Some guy must have been in his 40s. He's telling me, you know, to leave it. And I found out later that that was actually his brother. And that, you know, he was the one who ran the pub. And apparently, like, him and the brother both lived upstairs. That's why he was always there. So the guy gets up off the floor and he tries to pick up a bar stool to hit me with it. But before he can even lift it up, I managed to push his brother aside and hit him in the head a couple more times and drop him. So he scrambles back up off the floor now and he runs in the back room. And at this point, there's, you know, a big commotion. There's a bunch of people getting involved, telling me to get the fuck out of there. And, you know, most of them are like older people in their 40s and upwards. So, you know, they don't want to see no drama. So I'm like, all right, I think it's time to make my exit. So as I'm making my exit, I heard the barmaid scream behind me. I just heard some screaming. So I turn around and the guy who I just smacked up comes out the back room with a knife and he's coming for me. You know what I mean? So I'm like, fuck that. So I go outside and I'm looking for where Michael is because, you know, he's supposed to be parking up his car and coming to assist me if I need some assistance. But he's nowhere to be fucking seen. I'm expecting to come out and see his car parked right there, but he was gone. You get me? A friend in need is a friend indeed, boy. So I'm thinking, oh shit, I might just get shanked up here. I might just die right here. So, you know, I'm thinking, I hope this guy's not a fast runner because I'm still out of breath from the scrap we just had inside. So this guy's marching towards me down the street. Like, he ain't running, he's just walking fast. And obviously I'm walking away. All right, like, there's probably about, I don't know, 15 feet between us or something like that. And I'm like, you know, I'm telling him, yo, just put the fucking knife down and fight me, innit? Fight me like a man. And he's still marching towards me. You know what I mean? Like the Terminator. So I'm thinking, what the fuck am I gonna do? Because I don't even know this area. I'm not even from around here, so I don't know where to run or nothing. And he's closing in on me. And right before I'm about to get murdered, literally, a car comes screeching around the corner. Swear to God, on my grandmother's grave. It was Michael. He pulls up beside me, says, jump in. I jump in the car. We sped off down the street. It was like a fucking movie. Swear down, it was nuts. So I'm like, you know, Michael, where the fuck were you? You know what I mean? Like, what the fuck happened? I nearly got stabbed up back there. And he's like, no, I couldn't find nowhere to park my car, innit? I didn't want to get clamped. And I'm like, boy, I didn't even know how to respond to that. It was just such a crazy situation. And he did just save me. But at the same time, he just put my life in jeopardy. So I was like, I didn't even know what to say. So anyway, he drops me home. And a day or so later, I get a call from the boss's son. Because, you know, he was also helping his dad to run the company. And the boss's son must have told me, yeah, I heard you had some trouble the other day. You know, this, that, and the other. And I'm just calling you to say, don't worry about it. It's been taken care of. All right, that's all he said. He just said, don't worry about it. It's been taken care of. So I'm surprised and relieved, you know, because that incident the other day in the pub, I was worried that whole thing could escalate to a whole next level because, you know, the guy knows where I work. He knows where to find me. He can come to my workplace anytime with his boys and do God knows what to me, you know, or wait for me when I finish work and try to ambush me. So when I got that phone call, I was relieved. You know, the boss told me, don't worry, it's been taken care of. It's all good. And that was that. You know what I mean? So yeah, that was Confessions of a Nightclub Bouncer Part 3. Hope you all enjoyed it and catch you next time in Part 4. It's your boy Hatman. I'm out.